Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Might be the very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Greetings, my friends. As ever, welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting. And that can't do without accessory, the saucer pot. We're in the saucer pot again tonight. I've just thrown the hyperdrive switch and we're just hyperventilated into the seventh dimension, where I have been told the seventh heavens are located. I'm not seeing anything through the windows but smears of color and strange extended bites of sound, like that part in the Beatles song Revolution Number 9. I wanted a little perspective, and I also thought I might want to get away from it all tonight. Actually get so far away that there aren't even any more perspective lines, just whatever memory is retained about whatever it is I would have liked to have had gotten perspective on, if I had perspective lines. Anyway, when you get this far out, utilizing memory in the reconstruction of items related by time, space, and similarity of purpose in a, I don't know, kind of forensic layout where you put a little color-coordinated labels on things to identify them for function and how they connect to one another, you find that memory seems to work a lot better than it ever did, once it has been completely removed from all extraneous associations and only what is truly relevant remains. I hope this is all clear enough so that by now your mind is humming right along with me in a sort of zippity-doo-dah, I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill kind of way. You just get the sense that there is a hot and heavy smackdown session going on behind closed doors wherever international Satanists and their red boys and girls gather to give and get their marching orders, much like the Republicans are now getting from the Zionist heavyweights in Las Vegas. On the doors of the men's and ladies' rooms, it doesn't say men and women, it says jump and how high. See, it isn't all cool and collected like it used to be. It started going sour and south at the same time, as soon as they started to get all kinds of outrageously overconfident and stepping out of the shadows to preen like transgender peacocks rehearsing for, well, a Las Vegas chorus line. They figured they had it all nailed down tight and that there was not going to be any kind of resistance toward anything they wanted to do. Satan, their liege lord, had convinced them they were scot-free of any complications while they were still 100 miles from the finish line. So they took off their masks and sunglasses and they stepped out of their coffins while the sun was still up and began to cavort in an ecstasy of unbridled self-adulation, which is what the devil likes to get them to do because he works for the same almighty God that everyone on the planet works for, whether they know it or not, and whether they like it or not. You got to watch yourself moving from square to square in this business. I just had someone let me know that I was pushing the idea of a God and devil of equal power in some kind of old duality show rerun, and this I heard after having painstakingly said otherwise. And of course, this goes contrary to my actual commentary, but this is how things work in this day and age. All anyone has to do is say something and people believe it, if it's something they want to believe. The good news is that people who are inclined to believe lies will eventually shroud themselves in lies and effectively cancel themselves out, as far as you are concerned anyway. Isn't the consciousness-expanding universe a thing of beauty? Yes, it is, unless you are into consciousness-contracting or whatever it is that I'm trying to say. Anyway, I think I've been pretty clear about, my Advaita, perspective on things, but I deal with duality a great deal. Hey, I'm a writer, radio guy and the rest of it. And simply for the entertainment factor, as well as for the informative side of things, I have to use all kinds of props and things. Doesn't necessarily mean that that's what I base my own existence on. No. That's something else, isn't it? So, here we are. One more radio broadcast streaming from the saucer pod, as so many that have gone before. Should we say this? Should we say that? Should we repeat ourselves for emphasis or say something we've never said before? Years ago, I looked into the occult and I read a great many of the writers on that subject. Some I read more completely than others, and some I brushed past with small inquiry. When I approached Buddhism, I was astounded at the degree of complexity about something which is mostly formless and beyond words on one hand, and very simple as far as the basic teachings went. Maybe all the complexity was just what all the different sects required in order to distance themselves in the process of making themselves seem at least as legitimate as their competitors. I soon realized that I could study the texts of Buddhism for the rest of my life and not read them all, not hardly. This made me think I wasn't likely to find what I was looking for through official sources. I looked into Taoism, and it seemed that had evolved into magic over the course of the centuries since Lao Tzu propounded the simplest and yet most obscure of all courses in his 81 sutras, The Way of Life. Of course, Lao Tzu put it out there plain and simple concerning one's conduct in the world. It was the departing out of the mists and confusion of the world that was less than clear. Yet, that's how it is, isn't it, when you come to the written word? Great thought vibrates eternally once radiated. So it is that the mind and essence of Lao Tzu can be reached if one is directionally positive and relentless in practice. Given that, it doesn't matter if what you read merely indicates a subtle state of mind that gets more subtle. If it resonates with you, you can resonate with it, or Chuangzu if you prefer. I looked into Zen Buddhism, and that was just too eclectic for me, and worse, there were too many Western authorities on it, which convinced me that I would most likely find something other than I was looking for, including a lot of bamboo wax to the head and shoulders. I admit to being very attracted to the Zen archer thing, especially hitting the target in total darkness, which I guess is what you have to do when you're searching for the truth, huh? Probably why Diogenes carried a lantern. And I looked into the Hellenic school, but there wasn't enough of a devotional aspect, and I do require that. That's a must-have for me, and I'm not the sort of stolid iconoclast who is satisfied with existing in a philosophical cloud with the right amount of certitude to accomplish what I suspect would prove to be very rare on that particular path, just as it is in the arcane sciences. But I love characters like Apollonius of Tyana, who did all kinds of amazing and outrageous things when he was around, and there are some others as well. I don't have the time nor the inclination at the moment to go into all of that. But anyway, at some point I looked into Islam and found the Quran to be, for me, unreadable and numbingly monotonous. No offense intended, since plenty of followers appear to get a whole lot out of it. However, culturally, it is also a bad fit for me with all those rules and regulations. I lived with a Sufi master for a while, and his followers were real letter-of-the-law types, with not a drop of poetry in their bodies. Nor did they take kindly to poets and quasi-outlaw types like myself. I found that the place where I did get something from Islam is in the Sufi tradition. I found Sufi dancing to be a remarkable energy rouser, and I read the subject. I read also somewhat of the works of Hazrat Inayat Khan, who wrote a whole lot of books on the subject. I'm very impressed with many of the tales about Sufi masters and what they could do. One mysterious fellow was Mehmet Karagöz. I only found mention of him in one book and never ran across him again. Always thought I would have liked to have met him. So, I keep looking. I didn't look into Zoroastrianism. Didn't seem to be any point, and I dismissed out of hand things like Scientology, the Urantia book, Gurdjieff's Fourth Way, and similar. This is not to say that any of these three have anything in common with each other. It is to say they are standalone, unique perspectives that did not appeal to me whatsoever. Since I had an occult spiritual bookstore for a while, I was able to read the Urantia book, and I found it to be one of the densest and most boring texts I have ever encountered. And when I saw there were 2,000-some pages, I realized this was certainly not my gig. Not to mention it's full of names and places that have no bearing on the present, and I defy anyone to convincingly and factually make a case for that being possible. It does resemble Scientology in that regard. Both of them are replete with names and places that are irrelevant to anything identifiable in these times. Now I recognize there are probably people who get something good out of it. It's just not for me. So it's hard sometimes to say these kind of things and impress upon people that I'm not really criticizing it. I'm really discussing what my experience with it left me with and what then I continued on with something else. But I mean, if I hear someone's in the Urantia book, I go, well, good for them. So they're able to get something out of it. I wasn't, you know, things like that, you know. I mean, anybody who's actually putting the time in to try to learn and get to higher consciousness is okay with me. However they go about it. I mean, whereas so many of us are so different and there are all these different rays, some of those rays don't connect. Now, I've read a great deal about the Rosicrucians, and that definitely did relate to me. And I've always looked forward to meeting one of those mysterious strangers who've been alive for centuries that wander the earth as healers. I'm speaking about the esoteric brotherhood, not the external order, although I have no criticism for that from what I have ever known or run into. I looked into Egyptian magic and some of the wisdoms, and that appealed to me, but there wasn't enough of it, except for the Emerald Tablet of Hermes Trismegistus, and maybe all by itself that is enough. Still, I moved on. I looked into the Hindu tradition, and that had and has plenty for me, and I believe there is no religion that has not been dramatically affected by this tradition at some point. I looked for ashrams, but was unlucky, and I now know that this was by design. It took me a good long while to catch on to the fact that I was already spoken for and that everything in my life was programmed, more or less. The good things and the bad things and all the spaces in between. I've been told I'm completely forgiven for whatever sins and crimes I might imagine I committed because it was all for the purpose of demonstration. Whatever anyone else might think about that is unimportant. I only have to convince myself or be convinced, and both of those things have occurred. So these days, I am following a not-following kind of process which involves considerable listening with the inner ear, and that seems to be working, and it also applies to my work as well. Yeah, I looked into a lot of things. One thing I didn't look into is the New Age systems, because they smell pretty rank to me, and their ranks are swollen with crass opportunists chasing every available dollar, and I didn't want to get within a country mile of any of them. They're not even shy about it, and their operating philosophy is designed to include that. Their operating philosophy is designed to include every necessary justification for whatever it is they get up to. I suppose they are comfortable with all that they get up to. I wouldn't be. That would be in direct opposition to everything I believe in. It puzzles me that they can rationalize what they do. I have to assume that they are simply atheists that believe in nothing but their right to fleece the public. That's got to be a hard road coming somewhere down the line. In these times of extreme materialism, it is a natural extension of the times that evil should prosper, and stands to reason that those who practice it are convinced that there won't be much in the way of problems in such a completely compromised moral climate. That doesn't mean it's okay. That just means the odds are good for getting away with it. Oh, well. On it goes. Day follows day, and we continue through the days. And my sense of it is that this year is the turning point for a whole lot of things. I could be wrong, but my sense of things tells me I'm not. Some kind of events or several are pending. What I am certain of is that no one involved in planning any of these things has taken Mr. Apocalypse into account. And he is the one who knits together all the ends and ways of all the ham-handed magicians who are plying their trade out there. Excuse me. And out here in the high, wide, and unwholesome, as well as in the tight and crowded unwelcome of the urban insanity dance. When crazy starts to look normal to you, you're in trouble. My friends, I'm under the gun time-wise this evening, and so I have to wind this up a bit more expeditiously than normal. I thank you in advance for permitting me this exception to my usual polished presentations. That is meant facetiously, lest someone actually take me seriously, as so often happens at the least sign of anything humorous by me. For some reason, this takes place, and I have no idea why that would be, but it is. Anyway, we've come to the end of this broadcast, and another broadcast as it is, and I'll see you next week if there is one. I trust each and every one of you will seek out the divine with all due intensity in so much as it is possible for you, and don't forget in this budding season to go out and have a few words with Lady Nature, who always has an attentive ear for the sincere. That said, greetings, Lord Ganesha. Hare Krishna. La ilaha il alahu. Om Amitabha. Much love, Lady Nature and Tara. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and... Haru!
Chacha. He's strong and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. Bringing live and truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSync Radio Network of Stations.